Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Common Sense, something that seems to be missing in our society today, but we're trying to bring it back. We're trying to revive it with your help. Today, we have a very interesting topic and a very interesting guest. Ann Wood Dorn is the widow of David Dorn, an African-American retired police captain of the Metropolitan Police Department in St. Louis. And many people know the story, but Captain Dorn was fatally shot during a night of violence and rioting following the George Floyd incident. And he was responding to a robbery at a jewelry shop and a pawn shop of a friend of his, and was shot four times by someone who had a record. And we want to talk a little bit about that. Recently, a jury convicted the shooter, Stephen Cannon, the 24-year-old, of the murder. The sentencing will be in September and could be life imprisonment without parole. But one of the things we're going to be talking about today is the very lenient sentences that are handed out so often today, and how we continue to put dangerous criminals back into the community to terrorize citizens. And clearly, there is some lack of responsibility by the government when things like that happen. Now, at the American Cornerstone Institute, we frequently talk about community. In fact, it's one of the four pillars that we concentrate on, those being life, liberty, community, and faith, not necessarily in that order. They're all so vitally important. And the whole concept of community and having a community that feels safe and that works together is incredibly important. So, hello, everyone. In case you don't know, Ben Carson here. And our guest today is Ann Dorn. And Ann, I want to thank you again for your willingness to come on and talk about what has to be a painful and sensitive subject for you. And obviously, we at American Cornerstone offer our condolences for your husband, a captain who served society faithfully. And, you know, there's been so much anti-police activity going on these days. People hating on the police, teaching little children to hate the police, teaching little children to hit and kick the police. I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable. And sometimes I like to wonder what would happen in a community if there were no police just for 24 or 48 hours. It would be total chaos. People would come in your house and they'd say, I like that TV. I think I'm taking it. Better still, you get out. I'm taking your house. I mean, it would just be total chaos. And I don't know why people won't stop to think about that. But you started a foundation in your husband's name to support law enforcement and the families of law enforcement agents. And can you tell us a little bit about the fateful night that your husband was killed and a little bit about the organization that you started?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Carson. The night of what would have started June 1st, I was a police officer myself for 28 years, and I was working that day, and there was peaceful protests going on. The police were there to make sure it remained peaceful, and they got to do their protesting. But just as the sun was going down, the atmosphere started changing, and the peaceful protesters were leaving, and others started arriving. We can tell they were already getting rowdy. They were planning things. My shift had ended. I came home, and Dave was having dinner. We talked, and a few hours later, I went to bed, but I got a phone call waking me up telling me that four officers had been shot and that the 7-Eleven was being burned down. I was the wellness coordinator, so I did mental counseling for the officers and did trauma counseling for them. So I was preparing for my next morning to meet with those officers. And I went and told David about what had happened, so he knew that I'd be getting up early. To keep from disturbing my sleep, he'd always go in the basement and watch TV. But around 4 a.m., there was a knock on the door. And, you know, in my sleep, David's supposed to be home. And I'm yelling for him to answer the door, and he's not answering the door. And the knocking in the doorbell is consistently going off. And I get to the door, and the chief of police and two commanders are standing there with him. The worst night of my life. I never imagined I would have the chief of police showing up my door since Dave had been retired. And they had told me David had been shot. And then the chief, with tears in his eyes, told me that David was dead. I went into shock, I think, at that moment. It was not possible. He was supposed to be in the basement watching TV. Probably, in my mind, he fell asleep in the basement. He didn't leave because he always told me when he was leaving. But he ended up leaving to go take care of his friend, which he always done. He's always done it. So it was very surreal. And then having to contact the children and let them know what had happened.
You know, I think about that so often. You know, families of police officers, every time the phone rings or there's an unexpected knock at the door, you know, terror floods into your heart. Yeah. And every single day, every time when they go out, you don't know if they're coming back.
Yes.
And I don't think the average person really stops and thinks about how traumatic that is. Even when they do come back, you know, there's still a degree of trauma that family has gone through and continues to go through. And it's a really, it's not just the officers that we should thank. It's their families who go through an enormous amount of anxiety and grief every single day. But, after that incident, you know, there was a lot of, I like to call it propaganda, because, you know, the George Floyd incident was played incessantly, 24/7, not only in this country, but in other countries. We have some friends in Australia on the other side of the world. They said that's all they were showing, trying to create the impression that this was a common thing, white police officers killing unarmed black men. And the fact of the matter is, as I pointed out in my most recent book, Created Equal, this is something that happens relatively infrequently. In fact, the Washington Post, hardly a bastion of conservative thought, says it's less than two dozen, significantly less than two dozen a year. And yet there are more than 50 million police-civilian encounters. So this is incredible, way off on the distal end of the bell curve, as is the behavior of Derek Chauvin. I mean, this guy was disturbed. And, you know, no one was defending him. I didn't hear anybody defend him. You know, that's a real, you know, scourge on the reputation of police officers. But Black Lives Matter took advantage of the situation, started calling for people to make donations. A lot of the corporate entities were duped into making very large donations, which apparently went to buy mansions and compensation for relatives of the leaders. I mean, just crazy stuff. But you did something about it.
I did. Yeah. I got with Concerned Communities of America, Pastor Mark Little and his team, and along with two fellow police wives, Dominic Riviera, the wife of Jason, who was murdered in January of this year, and Esther, whose husband was drugged by a car, and now he's a paraplegic. But we're speaking out against that, and we're calling on these corporations to wake up and to stop blindly funding Black Lives Matter. I believe some of them were bullied into it, you know, by, hey, this mm-hmm. is what you have to do. But it's not just corporations. It's the athletes. It's the celebrities that are out there that are just blindly giving money to Black Lives Matter. And like you said, they're buying houses and paying their family members. Not $1 has gone back into the communities or helped a family member mm-hmm. of a person who was killed.
So your foundation actually helps the families of police officers who are killed or injured in the line of duty.
My foundation helps police officers, well, all first responders that I have, my personal foundation. It buys equipment for them so they can keep money on in their pockets and on food on their tables. Okay. It buys equipment for them that they would not normally, their departments would normally pay for them. We also will assist with mental health services for them and their families. And then any other unexpected expense that may pop up, if we're able to afford it, we will.
And how do people contact your foundation?
They can reach out. Facebook is the easiest way. It's the Captain David Dorn Foundation Facebook page. There's also a web page, which is www.captaincaptdaviddornfoundation.com. That's our official page. It's still a little work in progress, but you can donate through there as well. But the Facebook page is what we keep active and up and running. It's the more timely of them.
Well, you're, I guess she's your DA, Kim Gardner.
Yes.
Was elected, I think, in 2016 on a very progressive platform. And she has a strange philosophy. Have you been able to gain any insight as to why she wants to let dangerous criminals back out on the street?
She calls it prison reform. I'm not sure what reform it is to let them out. So far she's let four murderers walk. And I think all but the seven protesters that were involved in my husband's incident were released and not charged that night. Even the people who shot the policeman.
36 of them were arrested and ended up back out on the street.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And then there was a case, I understand, where someone charged with murder was released because the prosecutor was pregnant, had to go out on maternity leave, and she didn't appoint another prosecutor. So...
Exactly correct. Yes, there was three murderers were released because of that incident. She was on maternity leave and they didn't replace her with another prosecutor.
And this is what we have to deal with. And then she had a lot of people and her staff who turned over twice as many as normally does. What does that tell you about what's going on in her office? I mean, I think there are probably some decent people mm-hmm. who went law school, who wanted to contribute to the safety of their communities. They end up in that office, and then they have someone who totally rejects the responsibility that they have to society. Yes. And that's got to be something that just is terribly disconcerting.
Yeah, she's had 175% turnover.
175%?
Yes.
Oh, that is really awful. Now, I want to ask you about the fact that St. Louis has become per capita right at the top of the list in terms of murders per capita.
Yes.
This is something of recent origin. What, as a police officer yourself, do you think is responsible for that?
A lot of it has to do with no prosecution. They're just letting violent criminals back on the street. And, you know, the lack of manpower they have for police to answer. Tashara Jones, who's our mayor, who's also very progressive and right in line with Kim Gardner, she's defunding the police. And our police population is down by at least 40%, if not more. So we have less policemen on the street to handle calls, which, you know, like you said, just letting people into your house, you know, what, 24 hours. It's like the movie Purge. The criminals just take over. And if they get caught, they get caught. More than likely, they're not going to get prosecuted. So they take their chances.
Well, what are you hearing from the officers themselves? What are they telling you?
They're scared. They're scared for their safety. The morale is in the tanks. It's a sinking ship, and Tashara Jones and Kim Gardner are poking holes in the ship. The pay is not comparable to all the communities surrounding us. All the other ones have given their officers pay raises. The pay raise they offered the officers in the city of St. Louis is 3%, but yet they raised their insurance rate by 4.9%. Mm. And inflation has gone up 9 to 10%, if not more. So these officers are actually taking a pay cut in the city of St. Louis. Most of them are leaving not only our police department to go to other agencies, but they're leaving police work altogether because they've gotten so burnt out. They're working so hard. They want to be policemen. They want to help their communities, but it's becoming dangerous for them because there's no backup for them. And, you know, it's not fair to them or their families to have to be out there like that. And it stresses them. Their mental health is just suffering because of it.
I can imagine. Every time I see a police officer, no matter where, I thank them for what they're doing. But we will be back in just a minute with more conversation with Ann Dorn. And stay tuned.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And we're back with Ann Dorn. And let me ask you, what can ordinary citizens do to show support for the police?
Just like you said, when you're out there and you see them, thank them. Just say thank you. Have a kind word for them. Let them know you stand behind them. Vote. Definitely vote, especially in the upcoming elections. Those that support the police, we need to really look at the candidates out there. If people aren't sure of what candidate to vote for, go to your town hall meetings and ask questions. And, you know, I've told people to follow them to different town hall meetings, because if they're consistent in their statements, if they're consistent in their mission, their statement's going to remain the same. If you go and ask a question at one meeting and you go to the next meeting and ask the same question and their answer is different, then they're pandering to their audience.
Right.
So hit them up with the questions and ask them, but look for the ones who are there really wanting to help the community and the police. Kim Gardner's prison reform is not working. She needs to leave office. The only way to get her out really is to vote her out. And the same way with our mayor. You know, in other communities, you have to do the same thing. If you're fed up, your voice has to be heard.
Yeah, prison reform is a good thing to think about if it's done the right way. And yes. In the previous administration, you know, we spent a lot of time, you know, with the first step and the second step programs, where we would actually go into the prisons where, you know, there are a lot of young men who grow up in situations where there's no authority figure in life. They grew up in single parent homes. Their mom is out struggling, just trying to keep people above water. The first authority figure they meet may be the police or someone in their neighborhood who's badder than they are. In either case, sometimes it doesn't work out appropriately. And they end up in the penal system where they learn to become even more hardened. And what we did in the previous administration is actually create a program where we go into the prisons and work with a lot of those young prisoners who go in with little in the way of education, little in the way of skills. They come out with little education, little skills. So what did they do? Go back and do the same thing again. So we actually got employers to give them jobs. And when they came out, they had a different avenue. And it really worked very well. In one city in Jacksonville, Florida, there were 5 employers who were giving them jobs. And they did so well, there's now 135 employers that are looking for these people. It's amazing what can be done when it's done the right way. But yes. Just releasing people who have not been rehabilitated or shown a different way of life and who actually become even more hardened criminals is doing nothing but creating more turmoil in our society. But what would you say to some of the young people, the millennials and the Gen Xers, who are graduating from college, going into these corporations, and they're the ones who are actually putting the pressure on the corporations to support things like BLM and defund the police and just crazy stuff. And do you have any words for those young people who think they know everything?
Well, that's a hard group to get to reach out to. But, you know, reality hits them when they get out there, really. You know, they come out of college with all these ideas. And I understand when I came out of college, I had, you know, all these wonderful ideas. But in reality, you know, when they look at society as a whole, they should, if they want to help their communities, look at the lower economic. A lot of these kids in the neighborhoods just want love and attention, that the ones that don't have family members, that parents are not present. Look at working in your communities. Look at volunteering in your communities, whether it's a shelter, a recreation, you know, putting together a basketball game or going out cleaning up the parks and hanging out with the kids in the parks. But also funding money towards mental health services. Mm-hmm. A lot of our homeless people on the street and a lot of our kids that end up on the street are because there's some kind of mental health going on there. And I know many years ago, mental health services were cut and institutions were shut down and people were just turned onto the street.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they want to save the world, they need to look at those two things.
Absolutely. And mental health is a very important topic right now because you look at all these mass murders that have occurred.
Yes.
Particularly with young people behind them. When you stop and think about it, you know, there are some who say, oh, it's the guns, you got to get the guns. But the fact of the matter is, the gun's not going to do anything by itself. It needs somebody behind it. And so I don't think we're looking at the right place. We have young people who are not being taught to respect other people's opinions, who are not taught to respect life in general. And that's why one of our cornerstone principles is life, from the womb to the tomb, respecting life. And if you believe other people have a right to life, you're not going to be involved in some of these crazy things that are happening. After the George Floyd incident, you know, there are people burning down people's establishments, shooting people, beating people with hammers and bats, people they don't even know. And that indicates a tremendous lack of respect for life in general. We will be back in just a minute with Ann Dorn. Stay tuned.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And we're back with Ann Dorn. And, you know, I'm a very pro-life person. You know, as a pediatric neurosurgeon, you know, I spent my whole career trying to give people life. And, you know, I remember one case in particular where one of the obstetricians came to me and said, I have a woman who's pregnant with twins, and one of them has severe hydrocephalus, water on the brain. And the head is expanding so rapidly that she's going to go into premature labor and they're both going to be lost because their lungs are not developed enough. He said, could you do something to fix that? Well, we weren't doing intrauterine operations at that time, but I did know of somebody who was doing some experiments with intrauterine surgery on sheep. And I contacted him and I said, can we quickly revamp what you're doing to make it appropriate for humans? And we did. But I couldn't do the operation at Johns Hopkins where I was because the ethics committee said, this is too experimental, we can't do it. So I went to one of the community hospitals that didn't have an ethics committee. And we were able to do the operation. You saw the head shrink right on the ultrasound. We bought several more weeks and you know, the baby's both turned out to be just fine. And years later, at a banquet, a young woman comes up to my wife and says, are you Dr. Carson's wife? And she said, yes. And she said, your husband operated on me and my twin sister when we were still in our mother's womb. And now here she was, a grown woman, statuesque, beautiful, well-spoken. And that's why no one's ever going to convince me that what's in a woman's uterus is a useless bunch of cells. And, you know, I have more stories like that, but it just emphasizes the importance of life. What are your thoughts on pro-life issues?
Pro-life, you know, there may be some instances, you know, where a woman may need to look at other issues, but for the most part, yeah, babies are precious. You know, you never know who somebody's going to grow up to be. You know, that could be the person that cures cancer. It could be the person that stops all these diseases happening. You know, could be another Ben Carson or the president of the United States. You know, babies are precious, and they're meant to be in our world for a reason. Even babies with special needs are angels in our lives.
Well, even James Robinson, I don't know if you know that name. He's a televangelist who has impacted the lives of many people, but he was supposed to be aborted, but the whole thing got botched, and he ended up being born. And there are a lot of other people who have made substantial contributions. And, you know, probably what we should be thinking about is how do we support those women who end up in that situation? And what role do you think the church plays in these social issues which we've turned over to the government?
You know, I think children who have church in their life, really, I believe they come out a lot differently. They have a lot more respect for life. They have a lot more respect for themselves. And, you know, sometimes a family may not be equipped to educate their children in the things that they should. Maybe the parents aren't quite able to. And I think the church can educate them on life issues, you know, even fertility issues. And I believe that, you know, it helps. It's a community that raises them. And if it's a church community, I believe the kids come up with better values.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the church can really step in. And I've seen it in my own church where they've waited for marriage, or they've waited, you know, until they've gotten to an age where they can take care of themselves and a child before they decide to have a baby. So I really think a church family is just that, it's a family. It's just not right. A mother and father raising. It's the whole community raising a child.
And you said really the key word there, community and values. So vitally. And that was the basis behind one of the programs we started at HUD called the Mustard Seed Program. It comes from Matthew 17, faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Well, you know, we saw so many people in the community suffering. Homelessness and drug addiction, mental illness, a whole host of things. And the numbers seemed to be just growing and growing. And government programs didn't seem to be doing anything except feeding the bad parts of what was going on, dependency. So recognizing that the churches were right there in the communities, we said, why don't you guys create the program with the people right there in your community, help them get out of these situations, and we will put the resources of government behind you rather than the other way around. And it was fabulous. There was one church I remember in Riverside, California. They had some extra property, and they built homes on those properties, complete furnished homes, and they would bring homeless families in and use all the resources of the church. You know, there were dentists and social workers and all kinds of people who really could help that family get back on their feet. And usually within less than a year, the family was sufficient and able to move out and take care of themselves. But I think the reason that happens is because those people develop relationships with the people in the church. You can't develop a relationship with the government. It's the relationships plus the support that really makes the difference. And I think that's what we got to start thinking about again. And we'll start thinking about the relationships that we have with those who try to defend us, who try to bring peace and tranquility to our environment. That's why police are out there. And I have to tell you, growing up in Detroit and in Boston and in some pretty rough environments, I never had any problems with police. But that was because my mother taught us to respect the police. She says, you know, don't give the police any grief. Always cooperate with them. And I don't know of a circumstance where somebody being cooperative where the police just says, boom, I'm going to shoot you. It just doesn't work.
Never.
And if we can learn to people to respect each other, including those in positions of authority, what a difference that makes. Do you have any parting words as someone who is a police officer, whose husband was a police officer and a police captain, and who's very much in touch with the law enforcement community? Do you have any parting words?
I worked with schools for 8 years. I was a school resource officer, and I used to just tell the kids, you know, talk to the policeman like you talk to your friends. Be respectful about it, but have your ID handy. And after a few interactions with those police officers, they'll be your friends and they'll stop and talk to you and not shake, try and ask for your ID. What are you doing? And the few kids that did it agreed. Yes. You know,
absolutely.
They're friendly. They're nice. So, you know, open some dialogue. You know, if there's any young men and women, open dialogue with your local officers. They'll talk to you. They might be a little apprehensive at first, but continue it. Be respectful. But that goes for everybody in our community, in our country. Just be respectful to each other. Show a little love and compassion for each other. And it'll go a long way with your relations with people. Just smile. And you might just make somebody's day.
That's wonderful. And I remember talking to a police major in Baltimore. And he said he walks the same neighborhood every day. And he knows everybody. He says he never has to buy lunch because everybody's always inviting him in for lunch. But what a difference when people know the police officers because they talk to them. And if there's something
yes.
that's awry, they have early warning about it. And, you know, he plays kickball and basketball with the kids. I mean, I think that's a model that probably could be repeated and with great benefit for all of us.
Yeah, I really do. Just more community engagement, but we need more officers for that. They have to come, they'll become off patrol. And if we don't have the officers to patrol, then we can't pull them off to engage with the community. Yeah, if everyone will just go to www.concernedcommunities.org and sign the pledge or sign the petition that is trying to get these corporations to sign the pledge to support our local law enforcement across the community and have these woke corporations stand down with Black Lives Matter and the Black Lives Matter Federation. It's imperative that we as a community get together and back concerned communities and get this pledge to move forward with these different woke corporations. And recognize that Black Lives Matter is not the way to go. The money, if they want to funnel money into these communities, there's other ways to do it. And Concerned Communities of America has a plan. And they're looking forward to helping their Black and Brown communities across the country.
Absolutely. And I hope some of the young people who are listening out there will maybe consider a career in law enforcement. And if you think there's something wrong with the way it's done, maybe you can even bring some improvements. But let's all get involved in making sure that we provide safety and security for everybody in our society. And I want to thank you, Sergeant Dorn. I want to thank your husband, your whole family, for your contributions to the safety of our society. And we will be back in a minute with a prescription for common sense for next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And we're back, and we learned today that there are a number of organizations like Concerned Communities for America and the Captain David Dorn Foundation. They're doing wonderful work in some of the most underserved communities that all of us who are logical thinkers should align with. And I want you to visit their website, see how you can get involved. Oftentimes, these organizations are drowned out by organizations like Black Lives Matter and other left-leaning organizations. But together, we can lift these groups up, help them make a difference in our communities. And thanks to Ann Wood Dorn for joining us today, for sharing her story. Thank you all for listening. And please make sure you subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And that way you'll never miss an episode. And remember to rate and review us. And if you're enjoying the shows, please tell others, tell your friends. We need a lot of people to shine the light on common sense. And we want to hear from you also. We want to hear from your emails. We're going to answer a couple of your questions because you are sending in some fantastic questions. And you can contact us, ben@americancornerstone.org. And each week, we're going to answer some of your questions. And I have a couple of them somewhere here. Here it is. First question. Dr. Carson, I'm a strong advocate of human life. I've read many scriptures on the subject, but would love to hear your view how best to argue the right to life. I believe if a child is born by mistake or conceived outside of marriage, that should be the couple's responsibilities, not the baby's. It still has a right to live. I believe that just because a baby has medical issues, they still have life and are a gift from God. Look forward to hearing your views. Well, obviously, having spent my entire professional career as a pediatric neurosurgeon trying to save lives, I would be vehemently opposed to anyone who is trying to end lives. And, you know, I remember being at a conference in South Africa, and the head of the ACLU was talking about how they speak for those who can't speak for themselves. And I asked them about a woman who had come to me with she was 33 weeks pregnant on her way to get an abortion because the baby had been diagnosed with a neurological problem. I fortunately managed to convince her to have the baby. We were able to do an operation which resolved the issue. And she loves that baby and is so glad she didn't kill that baby. You know, that those kinds of issues are the things that reinforce my belief that we have to do everything that we possibly can to make sure that we respect life. There's another question here. Brent Eberle. First one was from Teresa Holloman. Dr. Carson, it looks like the abortion debate will be left to each state to ultimately decide what will be done on a state-by-state basis. Is this not the exact right time for churches to step up to the plate and begin to offer non-judgmental financial assistance and moral support to young mothers and fathers? We, meaning the church most likely, will not get a better opportunity to display Christ's love single parents and young families. What are your thoughts? Well, my thoughts are that the church, the non-woke church, by the way, the church that adheres to the principles of instilling morals and values in our people, will be a large part of what saves our country from progressivism, from tossing out of our value systems. I mean, think about where we are as a nation now, as opposed to the way we used to be. You know, we don't even know if we're a man or a woman anymore. We think men can get pregnant. I mean, just unbelievable things are going on in our society. There's no right, there's no wrong. Everything is relative. The rights of the criminals supersede the rights of the victims. You know, the list goes on and on. And, you know, it completely manifests a lack of common sense. And I think the church can bring us back. And bring us back to a foundation where we love and care about each other. Our Judeo-Christian beliefs tell us to love your neighbor, not cancel your neighbor, love your neighbor. What a difference it would make if everything wasn't about us, about me, my, and I, and we actually cared about other people. Give it a try if you're not a caring person. You'll see it makes an enormous difference. You'll feel really great. Just go out and do something nice for somebody, somebody you don't even know, and see how that feels. It feels a lot better than being mean to people. We can do that. That's who we are. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. See you next week.